COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Symptoms of this respiratory disease include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you're experiencing these symptoms and have come in contact with or in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and/or consult a physician. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the I Am Cannabis Sativa podcast. I'm your host, Dan Scotland. If you are currently a medical marijuana patient and want to tell your story and be featured on the podcast, feel free to email me at iamcannabissativa@gmail.com. Feel free to hit us up on Instagram at iamcannabissativa. You can also find me on Twitter at icsativapod. You can find and subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor FM, Overcast, Radio Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play Music Store, and more. Please rate and review us on iTunes, as rating and reviewing us will bump up the pod on their algorithm and put this podcast in front of even more eyeballs. If you like what we are doing, please become a Patreon supporter of the podcast and support us. Supporting us helps us to keep the lights on, pay rent, pay for hosting, equipment, and travel. And you can do this by going to https://anchor.fm/IAMCannabisSativaPodcast/support. You can also support me now on Patreon at www.patreon.com/ICSativaPodcast. You can support this podcast for as little as $1 a month. We also have a $5 tier if you're feeling extra generous. A special thanks to our current patrons and supporters. Shout out to friends of the show Reefer Revolution for supporting the podcast. Shout out to our new Patreon and friend of the show, Gracie Gatto. Shout out also to Joy One Love 420, also a friend of the show and founder of Keystone State Reviews. Becoming a Patreon or financially supporting us through Anchor, Patreon, PayPal gets you perks like early episodes, exclusives, and shout outs at the beginning of every episode. We also have been recently syndicated by friend of the show, Russ Belfill, and will now be featured weekly on Radical Russ Radio right before his show from Monday 7 a.m., Tuesday 9 a.m., Wednesday 11 a.m., Thursday 1 p.m., and Friday 3 p.m., all Mountain times. And without further ado, let's get to the episode.
Not the kind of person to say a toto-so, but you know what? A toto-so. F***ing a toto-so.
I told you guys so. I flipping told you guys so. Howdy, folks. Dan Scotland here, joining you from legal Massachusetts, heartland of America. You can find me on Instagram at @IAMCannabisSativa. You can find me on Twitter at @ICSativaPod. This is why and how I've been doing this podcast and making these analysis and following the headwinds for close to 3 years, and we just keep getting better and better at it as the years go along. And we called what would go down in the 87 legislature of the Texas legislature. I outlined what I believe Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor and the president of the Senate, would allow. And all of that has manifested, going off the articles we've gone over from Marijuana Moment and, you know, just sort of the material that I've been going over through, you know, Texas Normal and all sorts of other sort of contacts and friend of the show, Smoker Republican. So, I mean, I've combined all those sort of sources, all those sort of friends of the show, and just... We've been correct. We knew what Dan Patrick was going to allow and what he wouldn't allow. So I'm going to read this sort of legislation recap for the Texas 87 legislature. A record 6 bills regarding cannabis policy passed from the Texas House to the Senate this session, including 5 bills on our priority list. 2 of those will become law. That's HB 1535 and HB 567. Additionally, The House held committee hearings for 13 cannabis bills. Bills were sent to the Senate, which would reduce the penalty for THC concentrates from a felony to a Class B misdemeanor, 2593. Reduce the penalty for possession of marijuana flower and eliminate jail time for possessing small amounts, HB 441. Enshrine parental protections, HB 567. Improve the Texas hemp program, HB 3948. Improve the Texas Compassionate Use Program, HB 1535. We also were able to prevent Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's ban on Delta 8 by blocking his attempt to add amendments to several pieces of our legislation. So again, we went over HB 3948. And again, it started out as a bill that was going to do a lot of good. It was going to clarify, you know, CBD and hemp language. It was going to clean up the language and you know, make the cost of doing business for hemp farmers, hemp processors. It was going to make a lot of those barriers a lot easier. And it was going to clearly define, you know, the CBD products that come into Texas and that are made in the state are legal, and that the cops should F off if this was made under the auspices of the 2018 Farm Bill. Again, it was going to, because again, I mean, in a state where you don't have broader cannabis decrim and you have a very, very limited program, you need language like this so the people that are using hemp and CBD are not worrying about a cop conflating their CBD vape pen or conflating their CBD brownie with Delta 9 brownies. Like, you don't want them doing this stuff. And the more clarity that you can provide, and that was my rationale for supporting the bill, the better. But then you had Republican lawmakers weasel in a Delta 8 and a Delta 10 ban, which, again, I don't support and I don't condone that. That's tyranny. But absent of, you know, having fossils, or let me rephrase that, absent of removing the fossils in the Texas legislature that are against the plan of the people that use it, and absent of removing Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick and Governor Greg Abbott, who hate the plan and hate the people that use the plant, you know, hemp reform, hemp cleanup, and modest medical reform were the only two things I predicted that Dan Patrick would really allow. And again, a lot of that has come to pass. THC concentrates. As passed out of the House and Senate Affairs Committee hearing, HB 2593 garnered broad support, including favorable testimony from a sitting district attorney in North Texas and numerous advocacy organizations. It was an unnecessary amendment added during the Senate floor debate, which stood to have a major impact on the Delta 8 market. With differing versions from both chambers, the House author, Speaker, and shout out to him, pro tempore Joe Moody, decided to go to a conference committee to resolve the differences. So again, I don't know if, because there's another guy named Moody. I think this is the Moody that has been an ally to cannabis reform. But again, don't quote me on that. But again, he's been doing a lot. If this is the one I believe it is, he's been doing a lot of good and notable work for cannabis reform in his district and for people in Texas in general. We were successful in getting the problematic amendment removed from the conference committee, which was not relevant to the legislation and was removed on procedural grounds. The resulting conference report was approved by the House. However, Dan Patrick chose an action, likely frustrated by the defeat of his efforts to ban Delta 8. Yeah, I mean, Dan Patrick is like the Noid with Domino's Pizza. He's like, you have to prevent him from getting the pizza, otherwise he's going to destroy it or make it cold or whatever. It's like, avoid the Noid, pretty much. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going wicked old school on you folks. Anyway, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick chose an action, likely frustrated by the defeat of his efforts to ban Delta 8 by refusing to recognize the bill's sponsor, Senator Nathan Johnson, Oh man, Dan Patrick is so freaking petty, and he's like a mini Mitch, pretty much. Like this was the same nutcase that was saying that people needed to that grandparents should die for the economy for their kids and grandkids. This is the same nutcase saying this stuff. Oh man, he must be smoked for good next year, and Abbott as well, dude. Unable to present HB 2593 conference committee report due to Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, the bill was rendered dead. It was extremely sad to see this critical legislation sabotage when it had far-reaching support. Hemp. As passed out of the House, HB 3948 garnered broad support from Texas farmers, industry, and businesses. The bill would have created an important licensing process for research, clean up some language for Texas farmers, and allow hemp feed and more. However, the Senate chose to add an amendment with language addressing synthetics, which strictly limits Delta 8 products and THC in general, causing a conflict with the House version of the bill. With differing House and Senate versions, the House author, Rep. Tracy King, decided to go to a conference committee. The authors did not come to an agreement in time, and the bill is dead after not meeting the deadline. It is imperative that we focus on effectively regulating the cannabis market. Prohibition is expensive, ineffective, and a failed policy. It is important that we regulate the market to ensure consumer protection and quality products and restrict access to those under the age of 21. Save taxpayer money and generate revenue. Medical cannabis bill, which codified patient protections for those who are in the Texas Compassionate Use Program, TCUP, and protect them from being harassed by Child Protective Services, are on the way to becoming law. All right, that's good. Chairwoman Killick decided against going through the potentially time-consuming conference committee and accepted the changes of the legislation, which were made clear by the Senate. This means that HB 1535's final version, which now heads to the governor's desk, increases the THC cap from 0.5% to 1%, allows patients with PTSD and all forms of cancer to qualify, and facilitates research programs. While these are extremely important changes, Texas Normal is saddened to see such integral elements removed from legislation by the Senate, such as the addition of chronic pain as a qualifying condition, the ability for a review board to approve new qualifying conditions, as well as a new THC cap of 5%. We are encouraged by broadened efforts, and we will continue to advocate for a robust program which allows doctors to decide which conditions and symptoms could benefit from medical cannabis, removing the arbitrary THC cap and solidifying patient protections. Senate refusal to act. Cannabis legislation, which would have not only improved the lives of Texans, but would have saved them, arrived at the Senate. However, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick chose to ignore them. He chose to not allow those bills to advance because, again, in Texas, their legislature meets 140 days out of the year, every other year, more or less. And if you don't get those things done within those 140 days, that's it. You got to wait. We have to wait until 2023 until we can affect change again. But again, I was right in what I believed Dan Patrick was going to allow and what I believed he wasn't going to allow. So let's bring this home. Cannabis legislation, which would have not only improved the lives of Texans, but would have literally saved them, arrived at the Senate. However, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick chose to ignore them. Despite plenty of time left in the session and an idle Senate, these bills were not given a hearing, even though they enjoyed overwhelming support in the House. Inaction was the hallmark of the Senate during the 87th legislature. This session has been an epic whirlwind with many adversaries. We have made some important improvement to the laws this session. What we are most proud of is our team. We were repeatedly told no, and that our bills were dead, and that they wouldn't give us any more. We pushed back. We forced Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick to move the medical cannabis bill to committee, then hold a hearing so we could ensure more access to patients. We pushed back on the Delta 8 ban and were able to mitigate harm to businesses and consumers. This may not be the session that we deserved or wanted, but we worked very hard for it, and I am so proud of you. After we refresh and regroup after this session, let's turn our focus on the interim, regulatory advocacy, and upcoming elections. Stay tuned for our voter guide and more. Sincerely, Jax Finkel, Executive Director. End of article. So again, the ongoing battles are going to be keeping these wins with Delta 8 and other cannabinoids, keeping those wins, keeping, like I've mentioned earlier, continuing to fight on a local level. Long before California instituted the famous Prop 215 initiative, which made them the first medical marijuana state, 5 years before that happened, San Francisco voted municipally to legalize medical marijuana. So many changes happen on a local level long before they happen statewide, or a few years before it happens statewide. You can change a lot of things if you know who your city council people are, who your aldermen are, who your school board is, who's your mayor. Knowing their positions on the plant, that's monumentally important. When you have fossils like Governor Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. So getting those local wins is key. And there's quite a few cities in Texas that are municipalities that have decrimmed or made it a very, very low priority. You know, people just need to continue to expand on those wins and continue to move your politicians on the issue on a municipal level, knowing how they think and if they're fossil smoking them for good in the upcoming elections. In the future, that's all that can be done. And again, telling your friends and family about the plant, and telling people that, and talking to people that you think, you know, within reason, obviously, but talking to people in your life that may have an ailment or may benefit, and you know, putting this information out there to them. And again, they can take. With what they can take what they want out of the info. I mean, again, within reason, don't be preachy or anything, but again, talking and educating people within reason and being active locally, that's going to win the day. I can be found anywhere you find podcasts such as iTunes, Castbox, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and other platforms like it. You can find me on Instagram @_IamCannabisSativa. You can find me on Twitter @ICSativaPod. And as always, everyone, stay medicated, my friends. Peace out and ciao.
If you find yourself coming around often to my podcast and want to support our humble little project, there are quite a few ways you could do so. Supporting us helps us keep the lights on, pay rent, pay for hosting, equipment, and travel. You can do this by going to https://anchor.fm/IamCannabisSativaPodcast/support. You can also support me now on Patreon at www.patreon.com/ICSativaPodcast. You can support the podcast for as little as $1 a month. We also have a $5 and above tier if you are feeling extra generous. Additionally, if you wish to get in contact with us, you can leave a voice message on Anchor, and you can do this by going to https://anchor.fm/IamCannabisSativaPodcast and click the send voice message button, and I may just play it on a future episode. You can also call and leave a voice message at 617-466-9389, and I may just play it on a future episode. Feel free to join the ever expanding I Am Cannabis Sativa podcast planet on Discord. We've got a Discord channel, and that Discord channel can be found at https://discord.gg/ H-T-T-P-S:// 65TG2NR. Again, that is https://discord.gg/65TG2NR. Feel free to check out Sequoia Organics for a great source of CBD and hemp-based products. You can check them out by the link https://bit.ly/33fkrv9, and you can enter the following coupon codes for extra discounts, such as dogtreat20, tincture20, 40% sign off ISO, 15% sign off CBD, and that applies to the entire store. And as always, everyone, stay medicated, my friends. Peace out and ciao.